that you gave us all that we need concerning you in the Old Testament. So that as we walk out this walk, even as Reggie said, towards your coming again, that you have revealed yourself to us. So Lord, help us pay close attention to what you have already laid out for us, that we would not miss what you have for us in this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We got the situation here where Israel is put into Egypt and they're held in captivity. And they need a deliverer. They really need to be delivered. And Moses rose up. God rose Moses up, even from childhood, to be that deliverer. Exodus 12 and verse 13, and it come a point when the delivery was going to happen, and the last plague was about to come upon all the people, and it was the plague of death. The plague of death. You know, if you eat of this tree, the Lord says, you shall surely die. And of course, Adam ate of the tree, and through that sin came death, a plague of death on all people. But Moses come, and it said, and the Lord had told them, you know, to take and you shall, and the lamb shall be an unblemished male, back in verse 5 of Exodus 12, a year old. You'll make it from the sheep of your goats. So it had to be an unblemished lamb. But then in verse 13 it says, and the blood shall be a sign for you and your houses where you live, and when I see the blood that they put on the doorpost, I will pass over. I will pass over. And no plague will befall you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. No plague. No plague. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. I'd usually have these up on PowerPoint, but I didn't have time. I was on my way home, and I tell you, if you send your kids with me on a trip, you better trust the Lord. Because I didn't have enough strength to make it home, but praise God, Andy Wildmo was with us. He gave it all yesterday, didn't hear today. So about big fork or so, I was so tired, man. But anyway, Andy brought us the rest of the way. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Christ, our Passover. You see, we have our confidence, as it's been so clearly said earlier by John, that it's not in a faith that we have. It's in a faith in what God has done. God has accomplished things for us that you could not accomplish on your own. Jesus didn't, the Father didn't ask your permission to send his Son. He sent his Son. So Christ is our Passover. Now just flip a few chapters over to 10. And starting in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all drank the same all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." The rock was Christ. Then just drop down to verse 6. "And these things happened," why? "As examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they crave." And verse 11, "Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." So, we need to pay attention to some of these things in the Old Testament. First thing I want you to see here is there's a lot of use of the word "all." All. And all were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock with Christ. But the word "all," it's for all. All of God's people. So what happened here and what was taking place isn't for some of God's people to have and not for others to have. I want to make that clear, because there's certain teachings in the body of Christ to say, well, that might be for you, but it's not for me. Well, you can go by experiences and you can go by what your head or your feelings think, but the Word of God says that all is for you. All of it is for you. So whatever they took part in is for you. Not for some here and some there, and I can pick and choose what I want from God. No, God wants His people to have it all. And I can trust what God has for you is good. It's always good. So we must experience these same four examples. Okay, they're broken into, probably you could break them into two sections. All what? All passed under the cloud and under the sea. And then another, all ate spiritual food and spiritual drink. Okay? So we'll take it in two kind of groups there. The reason I type things out is because my handwriting is so bad. But I'll make it through. I'll make it through. I didn't have much time. Last week was kind of busy and a lot of things going on. But anyway, bear with me. So help me. Pray for me. So the first two refer to what? The first two refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of water. All passed under the cloud, all passed through the water, all passed through the sea. The first mention of the cloud is in Exodus 13 and 20, and it said, "And the cloud came upon them." Well, I'll tell you, there is a time, it was a time in my life, when the cloud came upon me and my wife. We were just kind of come and got us. You know, I was just going about my business, going to college and becoming a teacher, and student teaching, going to Red Lake. And I walk into this room, and I was kind of dressed in my suit and tie and whatever else I was trying to impress anybody with. But, you know, that I had something going on. And I walk in, and I'm pretty nervous, and the teacher's sitting in the back of the room, and He's just sitting in a chair, and he says, "Come over here and sit down." So I come over and sit down, and I've been in church all my life, so I recognize the Bible, first of all, and he's reading the Bible. He says, "Let me read you a few things here. I've just been studying this morning," and he starts reading to me about the Holy Spirit. I said, "Read that again." I said, "I've been in church most of my life. I can't remember ever reading this." But he started introducing me to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and at the time when the cloud came over Candy and I, and we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I would never, ever regret that day as long as I live. It's the only thing that's really been the thing that's guided me and taken me this far and kept me going. And I would highly recommend that every Christian seek out the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Seek it out. Ask the Lord. And don't fall into the trap of trying to figure out if you got it or not, because it's by faith. You believe it. If you ask God for something, believe it. For it says, if you believe, then you'll receive. But don't fall into all the other stuff that, well, if this happens or that happens, or if you cry, or if something has to happen, or you got to shake, or something. I mean, all these things are true for someone or another. I mean, I've seen people baptized in the Holy Spirit to do all kinds of things, but you know what? If nothing happens when you ask, if you believe, it's by faith that we get things from God, not because of some experiential thing. And that isn't, you know what, Jared, I just want to say it in 2 Corinthians 5, it says if we're out of our mind, it's for God. I'm telling you, sometimes God does things that are way outside of our mind, but don't discount it. It's for God. It wasn't for us. Some of this stuff we do is just for God. It says if we're of our right mind, we're for you. So there are two parts to that. Let's see, where was I? Yeah, I know I'm in the clouds. Okay. So let's turn to Exodus 14 and 20. I'm going to be flipping back and forth here, so I should probably put something in this page. Exodus 14, 19 and 20. And the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was a cloud along with the darkness. And it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. First thing I want you to hear is that clearly God Himself, God Jehovah, was in the cloud. It was God Himself who came in the cloud. It was God who was protecting Israel from the enemy. But this next thing, go down to verse 24. And it came about at the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and brought the army of Egyptians into confusion. Now, you have to understand that this cloud, which is really the Holy Spirit, okay? This cloud has a different effect on you if you're God's people or if you're not God's people. I just want to kind of sort that out just a little bit here, because before we were born again, we were of the flesh. We were of Adam. And I'll tell you what, the cloud, the Holy Spirit, has a total different effect on Adam than it does on who we become in Christ. For Christians, the cloud is light and safety, and it is our guidance and everything else. But for the flesh, it's horror. It is complete shuddering, and I'll tell you what, your flesh hates it. So just a little indication here, if you've ever kind of resisted the Holy Spirit and said, I don't know if I want the Holy Spirit, be careful, you might be siding in with the wrong guy. You might be siding in with your flesh, who really doesn't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit, because it seems confusing. And it's a darkness, it said. It's a darkness. It will be dark to the Egyptians, but it was light to the Israelites. So just a quick look here at the examples of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It came down. One, it came down over God's people from above. Two, it just wasn't an invisible influence, but it was both sensed and perceived. Three, it provided a shadow from heat by day and light and warmth by night. Four, it gave direction and guidance. Five, the Lord God Himself was in the cloud. Six, it gave light. It gave light to the people of God, but fear and darkness to the enemy. Seven, it became between. It came between God's people and the enemy. It stood between God's people and the enemy. The comparison for us, or the corresponding for us, is the Holy Spirit is the presence of God Himself coming down over us, covering us, immersing us, baptizing us. The Holy Spirit is sensible and perceptible. He's sensibly perceptible. In other words, you can sense and perceive the Holy Spirit, and you see it in His manifestations. Now, I'll tell you, your flesh doesn't see it, because it says spiritual things are discerned spiritually. Your flesh will probably cry out and say, that's nuts. And some people who, what did you say, quirky things that we might do. I mean, some people in the flesh will say, man, that is... Well, I remember growing up, and there was a revival in this little town of Farwell. We weren't part of it, except looking from the outside. And we made up stories about what was going on in the inside, in the Farwell town hall. And we made up some pretty terrible stories about it. But later on, I found out it was a revival going on in our town, and we missed it. We made fun of it. Not good. So the Holy Spirit has manifestations that are perceptible. Three, it is the appointed comforter, providing shade for us from the heat and light and warmth in the midst of a cold and dark world. Four, it provides us guidance and direction. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us and direct us, just like the cloud was in Israel, for Israel. It contains the presence of God. In John 14:18, it says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. God Himself comes to us in the Holy Spirit. And He guides us. He didn't leave us as an orphan, but He came to us. It's a light to His people. And seven, it is a decisive separation for God's people from the world. Once I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I guess I could put it this way, all hell broke loose in me. I'll tell you what, the war, the battle was on. I mean, it was a terrible thing there for the first couple weeks or further. Until I really surrendered to what God had done and started believing in my heart what God had done. And I tell you, there was a separation that come. And all of a sudden, I could see both sides clearly. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you have never asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're missing out on some things, because it says, I will send you from on high so that you might be my witnesses. You might have power to be my witnesses. That's the word dunamis, power to be my witness. And of course, the word witness is the Greek word martos, whereas we get our word martyr from. And I'll tell you, the first Christians and many of the following Christians were martyred for their faith. They gave a witness unto death. It says in Revelations, it says one of the weapons we have is not loving our life unto death, because we have eternal life. Okay, let's quickly go on here. A baptism of the sea. Exodus 14, 21 through 22. And they set out from Sukkoth. Sukkoth. This has to do with 14:23. I was reading this earlier, so let me see here. Yeah, 14:23. But I wanted to mention that anyway. Maybe that's why I went back to. They set out from Sukkoth. Isn't that to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? Set out from Sukkoth. But anyway, let's go to 14:23. And then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all the horses, Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. And it came about at the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and through the cloud, and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariots' wheels to swerve, and he made them drive difficulty. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them and against the Egyptians. Well, I'll tell you, here Israel is going into the sea. Now, this has to do with baptism, the baptism of water going into the sea. But you know, your flesh is right there with you when you're going into this baptism. Egypt and all that you have in the world, all your flesh is going right in there with you into baptism. The Egyptians tried to follow. So Moses stretched out his hand in verse 27 over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing. They're trying to get out. You have to notice the King James says that the angels come and remove the wheels from the chariots. And it said that the horses were really pulling hard. But they couldn't get out. And I'm telling you, the scripture goes on to say that not one of the Egyptians made it out. Not one. You can count on the fact that your flesh is dealt with through baptism. The burial and death is a process that God completes. Israel could not take care of those Egyptians. There was no way for them to do that. But God. When Moses is standing before the Red Sea, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians who are pursuing you today, you shall see them no more. You shall see them no more. And in our baptism, we need to know that there is a victory for us. You pass through, your flesh doesn't. Hebrews 11:29, just to tie in something from the New Testament here. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. And I just wanted to again say what John was saying. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. When you go into baptism, we have a couple baptisms today, but when you go into baptism, it's not about you and your faith. It's about the Lord's faith. It's about the faith that you've received. That faith that you get that says, man, I want to be baptized, that faith comes from the Lord. The Lord is drawing you. The Lord is speaking to you. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. I've heard stories, you know, someone say, well, you know, there's a spot there where it's just shallow, and they just kind of walked through, you know, and the scripture says dry ground, but this one person was saying it was just shallow water they walked through. And the guy says, well, isn't it a miracle? What do you mean? He said, that all those Egyptians were drowned in 4 inches of water. So you got the miracle either way. I mean, okay, some points. Number one, passing through the Red Sea was supernatural provision. Point two, it was availed by faith. Three, the Egyptians attempted it were destroyed. Point four, Israel went down and came up and out. It's good news. Five, it was a final separation from Egypt. You shall see them no more. And six, they come up out of the water to follow a new leader. Our baptism, number one, was made possible by God supernaturally through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the one that passed through for us. He's the one that made it. Like Bob Mumford said, by God, one of us made it. Number two, our baptism is made effect by faith. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. I mean, you can go swimming any day of the week and go under the water. But baptism is by faith. Our flesh, which is a type of Egypt, is not able to make it through baptism. But we were buried with him in baptism. We were buried with him in baptism. Point four, the New Testament baptism in water is always going down into the water, passing through and coming out the other side. It says in Romans 6 that we go down with him, and if we die with him, surely we shall live with him. Five, baptism in water is a separating the believer from the world. There's a separating that goes on in baptism. After baptism, point six, the believer after baptism, the believer is directed by God into a new life. God is the one directing us into a new life. And we have a new leader, the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth. Jesus, our captain, and the Father who is directing. We have God with us, Emmanuel. We have new laws, new destination. For Israel, this was a one-time experience. The cloud came over and they passed through the sea. In Exodus 13:22, it says, "And he did not take away the cloud nor the pillar." It says, "And he did not take it away." When you receive the Holy Spirit, know that that's going to be something that's going with you all the way. He's not going to take it away. He's not going to remove that from you. It's an experience that happens and it will be with you till the end. So the Red Sea experience just happened once. So, faith in the blood of Jesus, that He is the one, His blood was shed over the doorposts in heaven so that we will not experience death. The judgment that come when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die, still stands to this day for everybody who is in the flesh. Surely you will die. But the blood of Jesus was shed for all who believe, that everybody who believes on Him, that judgment of death shall pass over, and I shall give you eternal life. Eternal life. Forever. Forever. So you got faith in the blood. He's given us the Holy Spirit. It was poured out at Pentecost for all. There's still water out here to be baptized in so that believers can be baptized in water. I might not get to the second 2 points today, but that's okay. We'll get to the baptism stuff. The spiritual food and drink I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 6, let's read that. Verse 17. "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean." "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." God is looking for a people who have been separated unto Him. He's looking for a people who truly believe the Word is true, who put their faith in what God has done. But I encourage each one of you. There's, what did Dan Semps once told me? He said, see if I can quote it. I tried to quote it for Rocky and I finally got it, but I'll see if I can do it. "The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is..." Am I doing this right? "The Old Testament revealed." You know, I'm a little dyslexic, so I'm turning things back and forth in my mind as I'm trying to say it. But you see, there's stuff in the Old Testament, it's only speaking of the New Testament. And the New Testament is actually explaining what was going on in for us, so that when we read it, we understand we have the complete picture. And I just love to hear, Reggie, what the Lord's been showing you concerning what's coming. So we're going to have you up here and tell us a few things one day. Know this. Once you start believing on the Lord, Satan is right there trying to chase you down. But just like the Lord did with Israel, Satan has been defeated. He cannot have you like Daniel was praying. No more. It's over. Your body belongs to the Lord. Your body belongs to the Lord. No more. It's over. We need to believe that, because God has redeemed us. He's called us His own. Child, you are mine. When you walk through the water, I'll be there. When you walk through the fire, I'll be there. You will not drown and you will not be burned. When cancer is there, I'll be there. When everything else is there, I'll be there. I'm there for you. I'm there for you. You're my child. You're my child. I'll never abandon you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're my child. I'm not leaving you. You're my child. So today as we go to the lake, Elijah and Sam and anybody else who wants to be baptized, who hasn't been baptized, know this. It's not your faith, but it's what God has accomplished. We rely on Him. We rely on what He has done. It's His blood that was shed, not ours. He's the one that passed through death and rose again on the other side for our sake. We enter into His baptism. We enter into His death. And we also enter into His life so that we are a new creature in Christ. For everybody who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are gone. Behold, new things are come. You are an extraordinary person. Supernatural person. Keith Miners prophesied, you're extraordinary. You're not ordinary. You're extraordinary. You're supernatural. We're children of God. We never die. No one can take this life from us. No one. Nobody can take your life. There's nothing on this earth, including nuclear bombs, that can take your life, because the life, what does it say in Hebrews? It's an indestructible life. It cannot be destroyed by anything created on this side of heaven. And that's who you are. And that's what you have. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us all that we need to pass through this earth. And Lord, you've even given us the faith to believe in you. So Lord, we're just thankful. Thank you for the free gift that you've given us, that we might continue believing in you. And Lord, even if the suddenly doesn't come as quickly as we want it, Lord, we want to continue, to continue, to continue. That the journey that we're on is not the full picture, but that which we are going to. That's what you have us to do. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that, Lord, you would bless them with perseverance, with endurance, with encouragement, Lord, to finish the race well. That nobody here would give up or fall short or shrink back like we've heard this morning. For God says, I am not pleased with those who shrink back, but those who continue on. So we put our confidence in you. We put our confidence in the shed blood of Jesus, that we have been called children of God. Help us, Lord, to be separate from the world. Help us, Lord, to take a stand for you. Help us, Lord, to discern that which is of the flesh and that which is of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, not to side in with the flesh, but to always side in with the Spirit. Oh, Lord, give us, Lord, the ability to separate the precious from the worthless so that we can be a spokesman for you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Today, as we are at the waters there, I want you just to be thinking about what the Lord can do for you too. You know, by faith today, as we baptize too, let the Lord reaffirm your faith today of what happened at baptism for you. And if there's anybody that wants to be baptized, today is an opportune time. It's a nice place down there. But see me or see somebody.